Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned a moment ago, we are in the middle of Ezekiel here, chapter 33. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we want to emphasize the effectiveness of something today, we say it has teeth. Try to cut steak with a butter knife, and you'll experience a long meal. If you have false teeth, take them out and try to eat a corn of cob. It just doesn't work. Civil laws are thought to work better today if they have teeth. Some people may drive excessively over the speed limit, knowing that if they get caught, they only receive a minimal fine. But if the law has teeth, the fine is considerable, and they may think twice about their heavy foot. Ezekiel was called by God to be his watchman to the children of Israel. He went into exile with the first wave of those taken captive, and many false prophets were predicting a short stay in Babylon. We won't be there long. But Ezekiel warned them to repent, for their stay would be long. Ezekiel was called by God to remind the people that because of their unrepentant sin, they would endure a lengthy exile. Now, in the previous 8 chapters, Ezekiel prophesies against the other nations, the oracles against the nations. But with the beginning of chapter 33, Ezekiel turns his attention strictly to the children of Israel. With only slight variations, the words of Ezekiel 33:7-9 duplicate Ezekiel 3:17-19. He means what he says. As God's spokesman, Ezekiel is a watchman. Now, in Old Testament times, the watchman would stand on the highest point of the city wall, and by blowing a trumpet, he would warn the people of the approaching danger. By blowing a trumpet, he would announce the incoming of a messenger. By blowing the trumpet, he would give the progress of a battle. Ezekiel was to warn, to blow the trumpet, to warn the people of their sin. And this warning was not issued as a bothersome disruption of the people's lives, but so that they would repent of their sin and experience the new life that only God could impart to them. Ezekiel's message of repentance and faith, both law and gospel, was not to be taken lightly. God's word is effective. God's word does what it says it does. God's word has teeth. The teeth of God's word lead the Christian to a life of repentance and faith. God's word has teeth to cause repentance in us. That's his law. When God, through his watchman, warns us of our sin, it is a serious matter. It leads to certainty of eternal death. For the soul who sins shall die. Our good works and our self-righteousness, no matter how great and how good and how wonderful they are, cannot save us. Our works don't save. We don't like the teeth of God's law. We oftentimes feel that it is unjust. And sometimes we think that God's evaluation of our situation is just too harsh. Surely there is goodness in us. We've all been polite and had fun together. Surely there's goodness in us. Ask any man on the street and they will tell you that they are good. They will say, well, I'm better than all those others. They will tell you that they keep the Ten Commandments. even ask our confirmands in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, and many times they will tell you they keep the commandments. And yet they don't. Not a single one. Not a single second of the day. God assures us that it is His nature to be just. And so He will judge us accordingly. God's Word is the bite of the law. And when the law has done its work, there is no need to despair, as the house of Israel thought. God's Word also has teeth that cut quite the opposite way for our salvation. Can we call these teeth? I think so. For it has a strong bite and does not let go. God's Word also has teeth to work faith and salvation in us. That's His gospel. When God's law has convicted us of our sin, we turn to Him in repentance and faith, asking with the Israelites, "How then can we live?" And God makes His promise with an oath, with teeth, "As I live, declares the Lord God. We live as God lives." God can make His promise with an oath, with teeth. His reason for using the law is to have us turn from our sin and repent and live. For we have new life in Jesus, our Savior. Jesus didn't just talk about love. He put teeth in it. He acted in love by going the way of suffering and death on the cross. On Calvary, Jesus suffered the wrath of God's punishment, the ultimate in punishment, death with teeth, punishment with teeth, as He died on the cross, not just for anything that He had done wrong, but for everything that we have done wrong, for your sin and for mine. As Jesus shed His innocent blood on the cross, justice was served. As atonement for sin was made once and for all, Jesus' death had teeth. As we see the curtain and the temple torn in two at the moment of His death, Jesus' death had teeth, and His resurrection had teeth. As no stone blocking the entrance to the tomb, not even death itself, could hold Him back from rising from the dead. Through His means of grace, God works repentance and faith in everyday life for all of us who follow Jesus. Our God goes to the heart of the matter by transplanting our dead heart, killed by the law, with a transformed heart. Our faith is strengthened through a life of repentance as we daily drown our sinful nature by remembering our sin and walking wet. Our sanctified life is lifted up as our teeth literally touch Christ's body and blood with the assurance of forgiveness and holy communion. Yes, God's Word has teeth of nails for the gospel. And so God says to us, "I have sent you a watchman to show you your sin. When my law has done its work, you need not despair. For I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from His way and live. And through my crucified and resurrected Son, you have new life with teeth in it, now and for all eternity." God's Word has teeth. The bite of the law and the teeth of nails of the gospel. No doubt, God's Word has teeth. Amen. You are the body of Christ, each one of you a part of it. Amen.